Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 450. If you'd like to have a copy of it after hearing it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. If you order, please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. It's absolutely free, either one, and the postage and handling is taken care of as well. We have a strong program this evening, as usual. We've got testimonials, and we have statements from Mr. Gambino. This is one of the big Gambino crime bosses, or that used to be. He was just let out of prison not long ago. And did an interview with Greg Szymanski, and you can hear the interview on the Greg Szymanski Show, and this man knew a lot about things that I've been talking about, and you'll, I'm sure, enjoy hearing about that. We also have some great music, and right now let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this program. Father, anoint this program. Let it be a program that shows everyone in Radio Land about the power of the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Christ, and that He was once dead, but that now He lives forever, and He's not going to go back and die for anybody. He died for all once, and that's it. And Lord, that we need to uncover the works of the devil in this world today, because how can we resist the devil if we don't know who he is and where he is? So Lord, anoint that way as well, that people will be able to make its very keen definition between God and man and Satan. Lord, give us power and dominion over every satanic demon in the world. You've already given it to us. And we ask that you give people the assurance, the faith to believe that we have what we have. Lord, that, and then we ask that you rebuke the devil. Rebuke Satan, his entire regime. He keeps causing people to lose confidence in you, and rather they lean unto satanic outward appearances and the things that the devil is doing through people in this world. Lord, there are two people in the world. One is you and the children in you, which is your body, the New Jerusalem, your bride. And then there is Satan, which is the first Adam, with his children that are his body that he works in this world today. So we have Christ and the Antichrist. Lord, show these things to the people of this world this evening through this program, Father God, that they're they may be able to know who the devil is, to resist him, and to know who you are, that they can come to you and surrender their entire lives to you, that they might be saved for eternity, and that they might clean escape the pit of hell and the lake of fire, which is forever, where the pain is not extinguished ever. And it's just the most horrible place that no one is able to really, there's no human words to describe it, just as there are no human words to describe heaven. Father, I ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus, that souls will be saved and the church strengthened. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now this land, this world was made by the Lord himself, and so were all the planets. And therefore, The Lord says this land does not belong to Satan and his evil angels, and it does not belong to those who have joined themselves to Satan's doctrine, the Antichrist from Rome, the world government, and the media. This land belongs to the children of the Lord. This land is mine, and here I am to sing for you. This land is mine. In other words, Exodus. Amen. This land is mine. And to all my brothers and sisters, and soon the Lord is coming down the mountain as a stone to smash this one world government, this one world cult church in Rome, and all of its affiliates, associates, and the news media, and all those that follow it. Now, a person whose spirit is generated, or the Bible calls it regenerated, is generated, and within whom the Holy Spirit abides, can still be fleshy or carnal. Just because you're regenerated doesn't mean that you are not able to still be fleshy or carnal. For your spirit may still be under the oppression of your soul and your body. Some very definite actions are required if a person, he or she, is to become spiritual. So there's a difference between a spiritual person and one that is a soul-type person. Generally speaking, everybody will encounter at least two great perils in their life. But they are able to overcome not only the first, but also the second of them as well. These two perils, with their corresponding triumphs, are that of remaining a perishing sinner or becoming a saved believer, and that of continuing as a fleshy believer or developing into a spiritual one. Now, if I were not spiritual, then I would not be telling you the things of this world that are evil. Because the Bible, the Holy Spirit, says that the Holy Spirit will tell us of righteousness and tell us of things to come, and to that will rebuke sin. And so there's a lot of people that are telling people not to rebuke sin, that we have to be a people that are liberal so far as rebuking. We have to be nice people. But I was mentioning in a service this evening that we have to be like Daniel and the three Hebrew children. We must make a stand against all the things that are popular today, like abortion, starting wars, spending our money abroad instead of here in the United States, in places like New Orleans and other devastated areas in our country where people are not receiving any relief. Well, we're sending hundreds of billions of dollars all over the world of taxpayers' money. And this is just part of the desolation of the world, the abomination that maketh desolate the entire world. We were the strongest nation at one time when we made a stand that we would not conform to the things of this world. And then we began doing that, and it's been a downhill situation ever since here in this country. The country has literally been taken over by the Vatican, which it was actually Satan's powered government in Rome, and then the world government, which the Vatican controls, and the media. And one thing that we can read in the scriptures is a strong stand that Jesus made against the things that were not to be complied with in the world. He turned over the tables of the money changers, and he came out and told us where Satan sits, because the devil cannot operate in the light. Satan has to operate in the dark. And that's why the Lord told me, if you expose Satan by the word of God, by my word, he says, you will not be destroyed. But if you don't, you will be destroyed. Now, the people in Waco had a lot of information on the people, but they were too afraid to tell the information that they had to the world. If they would have, then they wouldn't have been destroyed, massacred. But I've told about it in yesterday's message, and I have some more information to tell you the way that this government, the world government, which is the Roman canon government, and the puppets of the Roman Catholic government, like Bush, how they do, how they're doing you in. They're not your government. It's not your government. Any government that would come in and destroy a bunch of people like they did Waco, and then blow up the World Trade Center, this is not your government. This was done from within. And they had a bunch of patsies, bearded rebels, that they blamed this situation on. It was a setup, folks. And here they just released this Tony Gambino from prison. And he's of the Gambino family, and Lucky Luciano was his grandfather. And so he knows, he was raised up in the big crime families. and knows a lot and realize that you must expose the devil, otherwise he will destroy you. Because again, he cannot operate in the light. Yeah, he's the prince of darkness. He can only in stealth do his work. That's why all the secret orders of the Jesuits exist today. But people, if you want to be free from Satan and his all these orders, these secret orders of the Jesuits, if you're afraid of these bullies, tell everybody about them so that they know that in the event that they kill you, that everybody will know who it is. So Sharon, we have this document, and where is this on the... This was an interview with Greg Szymanski. I've done several interviews with him. And he's a true patriotic person. He loves the United States of America just like I do. The way that it was. I love the U.S. Constitution, and I love the law of God. And this Gambino, Tony Gambino, evidently does too, or he certainly would not have been on this patriotic man's program. We're patriots. And I believe that this Tony Gambino, a once criminal, is a true U.S. patriot today, or he would not have said these things on Greg Szymanski's program, and I know them to be the truth. So go ahead and read it.
Top mafia figure Tony Gambino implies that the Vatican, Bush, and the White House were involved together in the Ground Zero 9/11 mass murder.
Now this is this man is from the mafia crime family, and he's saying this on top of all of us, the really born-again Christians. Then what?
The grandson of Lucky Luciano, Gambino, 63, just released from prison, also sets the record straight about the JFK and Hoffa assassinations by Greg Szymanski. Greg Szymanski is a top patriotic defender of the USA. September 26th...
As I am. Okay, then what?
September 26th, 2007. Tony Gambino of the infamous Gambino New York crime family said besides mob bosses, the outfits that benefit most from organized crime are the corrupt Vatican and U.S. government. The grandson of Lucky Luciano, Gambino, made a guest appearance Tuesday on Greg Szymanski's radio show, The Investigative Journal, on Liberty Radio at www.libertyradiolive.com. The entire interview can be heard at www.arcticbeacon.com, as well as Liberty Radio and alamoministries.com. The high-level former mobster talked openly for an hour, indicting top Vatican and U.S. government officials with complicity in high crimes, treason, and assassinations as they worked together, quote, like a tight-knit, happy family, unquote.
Treason and what else?
Assassinations and high crimes.
Right, this is something that the Vatican has been doing for years. And they have all these White House officials, Pentagon officials, and judges and prosecuting attorneys that are destroying other born-again Christianity. They're trying to destroy it, but they never will. And they are... destroying themselves, and they don't realize it because they're so blind and so stupidly blind. What else?
They work together like a tight-knit, happy family with the Gambino and other mafia families. With America's fascination of the mafia, Gambino's statements should shake the halls of St. Peter's Basilica, as well as Capitol Hill, since he talked about his first-hand knowledge of George Bush, the Pope, and other high-level Jesuits' complicity and knowledge of 9/11.
Notice that they say in their constitution that they could even lower themselves to call themselves born-again Christians or Jews to be able to get their job done. The Bible says that Satan is a liar and all of his imps are liars. And that's what they're doing. They're saying they're Baptists, that they're other different religions, when in reality they are nothing more than secret Jesuits that infiltrate themselves in different churches and bring accusations against the church leaders. This is what Alberto Rivera told me, that he was assigned to go into different churches with young, good-looking girls to tempt different pastors, because they know once a pastor commits adultery, that, and it's brought out into the light, that the pastor will be destroyed, that their church will be destroyed. And so then Alberto Rivera became a born-again Christian. He got saved, and then he told me all these different things, and he told all those things to Jack Chick and myself. And the reason he contacted me, because I put out a piece of literature entitled The Pope's Secrets, and both Jack Chick and Alberto asked me if I was ever in the Vatican, and I said no, but the Lord told me these things. Okay, go ahead.
Quote, when you grow up in the family, like I did, you learn right off the bat that protection comes from everywhere, including the CIA, FBI, and blessings from the Vatican, who are at the top of the ladder when it comes to benefiting from Mafia street crime, said Gambino, who became a made man at the age of 5, a Mafia term used for their top street captains. Quote, the Vatican officials, federal judges, top politicians all used to get regular payoffs from the Gambino family, and in fact, the Vatican and U.S. government make more money off the illegal drug trade than we, the Mafia, did. That is why I am talking after just getting out of jail after 20 years. I am talking because people need to know the U.S. government and the Vatican are more dangerous and corrupt than the Mafia ever was.
Well, they are the Mafia, for sure. Then what?
For example, I know for a fact the Cardinal in Palermo runs the Sicilian mob, and former Cardinal Spellman of New York was considered the Vatican's American godfather, since he pulled the strings and had his hands deep into organized crime. I know for a fact Bush, the Pope, and other top Vatican and U.S. government leaders had prior knowledge and helped organize 9/11. They did it for many obvious reasons, one being instigating the war in Iraq. But they also did it...
Yeah, in other words, they blew up those buildings because they knew that that would tick the American public up enough to go to war against Iraq, because they blamed it on Iraq, just as the Germans blamed the bombing of the Reichstag building on the people in Poland. And they hadn't done it. They had done it themselves. The Germans blew that building up themselves and blamed it on the Polish people. And so the Germans went full blast against Poland. And that's why we went full blast against Iraq, is because it was made to believe, you know, the media made you believe that it was coming right from Iraq, when it was coming from, according to this Gambino, Tony Gambino, and from Tony Alamo, and from many other reliable sources, that it came from the federal government and the White House. We're all in it together. Okay, then what?
But they also did it to get their hands on all the gold that was hidden below in the Twin Towers. My grandfather's construction company built the Twin Towers, and after it was completed, I know they went in and put in big underground vaults to house an enormous amount of gold, which is now in Bush's and Vatican hands, in order to help fund the war. Unquote. Besides implicating the Vatican and Bush in 9/11, Gambino set the record straight about the JFK assassination, saying he was in Dallas when Kennedy was shot, and the fatal bullet came from a shooter located in an underground storm drain. Quote, I was there when he was shot, and I know for a fact Roselli was in the storm drain doing the shooting, and Frank Sturgis was also part of the hit team, said Gambino. the same group of guys we have talked about in the Vatican and U.S. government gave the orders and asked the mafia families for help in taking down Kennedy, unquote. Growing up on the streets of New York in one of the top crime families, Gambino recalls getting his first lesson of mafia life at the age of 13. Quote, my grandfather was Lucky Luciano, so I had it made, said Gambino, now 63 and living on the East Coast, with a probation stipulation that he can't associate or talk with any organized crime figures. Quote, Lucky had all the
politics. That means he can't talk to the president or any of the federal FBI people, because that's the mob, that's the crime, that's the mafia. Okay, then what?
Quote, Lucky had all the politicians and even the Vatican heads in his pocket. He was making 55 to 100 million a week, and when Vegas opened, the money really started to roll in. Quote, he got Frank Sinatra and many others like Marilyn Monroe, Tony Bennett, Dean Martin, Clint Eastwood, Sammy Davis, started in Hollywood. He then would take a percentage of their earnings, and this went on for their entire careers. Remember the horse's head being cut off in Godfather 1 and then put in the Hollywood producer's bed? That really happened, and it had to do with forcing a Hollywood producer to star Sinatra in one of his movies. Gambino also had inside information about how union boss Jimmy Hoffa was really killed, saying his time ran out when a huge mafia debt wasn't repaid. Quote, Hoffa was working behind the scenes with crackhead and truck hijacker John Gotti, recalls Gambino. That's all Gotti was good at, and when they brought in a $5 million drug truckload, Hoffa got deeper in debt to the other mafia bosses. He never gave his courtesy calls to the bosses for repayment, and finally his time ran out, so he was killed. They picked him up, put him in a body bag alive, and then dumped his body in one of the concrete abutments at the George Washington Bridge while the concrete was being poured. All they did was pay the concrete man $150,000, and the whole thing has been covered up. But that is where Hoffa's body is today, and I know that for a fact, unquote. Although Gambino knows he's crossing a sensitive line for going public about the inner workings of the mafia and its complicity with the Vatican and U.S. government, he added that it's important for Americans to finally understand how things really work on the streets and how church, state, and big business are working together to destroy America. And if
he's talking about the Vatican as the supposed to be church. Okay, then what else?
And if there remains any doubters that the Vatican and Jesuit order have had its dirty hands in organized crime in order to destroy the moral and financial fabric of the U.S., Gambino's confessions should lay that to rest. Quote, if you don't believe the hard facts and the hundreds of researchers who have implicated the Vatican to the demise of America, then believe Gambino because he learned it firsthand from being on the streets and working with the top crime bosses. He has nothing to gain from lying since he has already served his time and wants to set the record straight once and for all regarding who are the real controllers of the New World Order, said one patriot closely studying and alerting America of Vatican and Jesuit intrigue.
All right, praise the Lord. All right, now we have some testimonials, right?
Yes.
Okay, where's the first one from?
From Ashland, Ohio.
Okay, let me hear what they have to say.
Heard you, Brother Tony, on the Liberty Radio live show with Greg and was happy to hear what I was hearing. Because of this, I went to your website and called the number and spoke to Brother Doug. We had a spirit-filled time on the phone. The brother said I will receive some literature soon. Looking forward very much to reading all of this. Brother Doug has my phone number. Feel free to call me anytime. I'm now on your prayer list. Thank you. Mark from Ashland, Ohio.
Okay, and you have another one?
Yes.
Where's this one from?
From Ghana, West Africa.
Okay, what do they have to say?
Dear servant of God, greetings to you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. I am so humbled by seeing what your ministry is doing in this modern world, and I say may our Almighty God alone bless you and strengthen you physically, spiritually, and financially. I thank God for your ministry, which reaches many countries in this modern world. May God extend your days so that what you planned to win souls should be accomplished. Pastor, you are really turning back many lost souls all over the world into God's kingdom. I was impressed when I received your reply of the literature and the Bible. Indeed, my life was touched and changed immediately after going through some of the literature. My life was really transformed. It was not even my dream to be a soul winner one day, but through the distribution of your literature to the lost souls, I have now become one of the serious soul winners in my country, Ghana. I've even formed a soul winner team with a number of 30. We move from place to place, preaching the Word of God and distributing your literature to them. Pastor Lamo, I'm requesting for some of your t-shirts and sweatshirts for my members who distribute your literature to wear when we're distributing. I need 10 black t-shirts, 10 white t-shirts, and 10 both white and black sweatshirts. Sizes are large and extra large. Therefore, Pastor, because I like working for God, I would like you to put me on your monthly distribution list. Pastor, about 10 of my members do not have a Bible, so please send me some to give them. Please send my team more of your literature entitled The Messiah, Framed, Dry Bones, The Fighters, Biting the Bullet, Are You Living by Faith or Feelings, Signs of the Times, How to Have God's Life Living in You, and any other literature. Please kindly send me some of your cassette tapes to give to my family members. Pastor, my team wants to go to other regions, but due to financial problems, we're not able to do so. So please, if only you can help us to distribute your literature to the other regions in Ghana, then send us some money. Any amount you like to send to us would be accepted. May God richly bless you and your ministry, and we're praying for your ministry here in Ghana. Goodbye, yours faithfully, Alex, from Kofor Dua, Ghana, West Africa.
Praise the Lord. In the Old Testament, the Lord tells that he's going to give us a new spirit. And that's the first statement that signifies that believers shall receive a new spirit through the renewal of their deadened spirit by the incoming of God's life in their in their new spirit that has been changed. That's really something. So there's two things that are happening here. One, we get a new spirit, and the second has reference to the indwelling or the abiding of the Holy Spirit. In other words, this is the new spirit of ours that we receive. Then the second, this refers to the indwelling or the abiding of the Holy Spirit. In other words, God enters into that new spirit in the renewed spirit of ours, once we're born again in the Spirit. Believers at new birth obtain not only a new spirit, but also the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. It is not sad, most people think, but it is a very sad thing that many fail to understand, the newness of their spirit, this new spirit that they receive. And then on top of that, the abiding of the Holy Spirit in their new spirit. That's in their new spirit. Christians need not delay many years following generation or regeneration, and then suddenly wake up to the fact as to that they need to seek the Holy Spirit. A lot of people think, well, if God wants me to have the Holy Spirit, well, then he'll give it to me. That isn't the way the Lord works. You're not going to throw God over the barrel and make him do something that you think is right. He said, you seek, and then you'll find. Okay, you have to. There has to be some initiative on your part. There has to be some zeal for you to seek him and the things, the gifts that he has for your own sake. And if you're not interested enough in your own sake, that's what the Lord does. Is he throws us up against the wall and runs us up a tree to see if, hey, do you really want to go to the kingdom of heaven? Then seek and you shall find. Amen?
Amen.
They have his entire personality abiding in them when he enters into them, not just waiting or visiting us at one moment or another that they are saved. The Apostle Paul, in other words, some people think that that just happens the moment you're saved and then it goes away. The Apostle Paul exhorts us on this wise. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit with your ideas. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God in whom you were sealed. Now, being sealed into eternity, just picture yourself. Have you ever put anything in an envelope and sealed it and then decided, I want to reopen the envelope and see if there's something in there if I said it the right way? Being sealed into the kingdom of heaven is not that you're sealed there no matter what you do, because the Bible plainly states that he'll, if you begin doing the things that he doesn't like, then he'll blot your names out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen?
Amen.
Now, people call this legalism. Well, I'd rather be legal than illegal. Amen?
Amen.
You want to be illegal, that's up to you, but you're going to have to face the consequences for it. Okay, for the day, he says that we are sealed for the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. But don't let that make you think weird about the Word of God, because you can't make a doctrine out of just one scripture and say that's the way it is, because there's a lot of Bible. The Bible says that if you have tasted all the good things, if you're sealed, and then you decided to break the seal, and yet that's on you. You got sealed in by seeking the Lord, and then by not seeking him and just beginning to live your life the way you think you should rather than the way he says for you to, you've broken the seal, and you're not sealed in any longer. He blots your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Use of the word grieve, quote, unquote, here, and not anger. There's a difference between grieve and anger. Reveals the Holy Spirit's love, quote, grieve, unquote, it says, and not pause to depart. For he dwells within you and will be in you, John 14:17 states, unless you turn your back on him. Amen?
Amen.
While every born-again believer does have the Holy Spirit, but not permanently if they decide to go back into the world, residing in them, the fight of the indwelling Spirit may not be the same in every saint. Everyone is different. He may be either grieved or gladdened. We must understand the relationship between regeneration and the indwelling Holy Spirit. Regeneration is where the Lord changes our spirit into a new spirit. Our dead spirit, he does away with and gives us a new spirit, one that's alive. But then it comes that, so that's regeneration. And then we must understand that the indwelling Holy Spirit is something else. Unless a new spirit is available to God, the Holy Spirit cannot find a place to abide in us. The Holy Spirit, which is shaped like a dove, found no place wherein to set her foot. This was when Noah let the Holy Spirit, or the dove, go out. But the holy dove found no place whereon to set her foot in the judged world. What do you mean the judge? Well, it was judged by God. He drowned everybody, in case you believe that God is all love. Amen?
Amen.
All of God's ways are judgment, the Bible says. So he judged the whole world and drowned it. Now he's judging the whole world and going to burn it up. She could take up her abode, this dove, only in the new creation. In other words, when the water went down and this tree came up, that was the new creation, and that's the only place that dove could set its foot. Amen?
Amen.
That's Genesis chapter 8. How positively essential regeneration is. There had to be a new world. There has to be a new spirit. There has to be a place for man to dwell. There has to be a place for God to dwell. Without this new spirit, if the Holy Spirit cannot at all dwell in man, there must be the Holy Spirit in you in order for God, the Holy Dove, the Holy Spirit, to rest its foot in the new creation. Amen? The new spirit?
Amen.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
So there's the new world, and the Holy Dove could set its foot down. And now he cannot, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Dove, cannot set his foot down. In other words, the Holy Spirit cannot come in and dwell in you. You must be born again first. There must be the new spirit for the Spirit of God to enter you. The dove. The Holy Spirit is the dove. Amen?
Amen.
So God's children receive within them the Holy Spirit, the dove. It's a place for God to come in and rest. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if they continue on and only on to the end. So if you start doing things that the Lord doesn't like, well, then your spirit becomes old again, and God will not rest in the old creation. To all you people in show business, do you dig? Do you dig, mana? I really hope so. If they continue on in the spirit by the dove to the end, if you allow the dove to rest inside your spirit, this new spirit that the Lord gave you, then it's a permanent abiding. In order for it to be permanent, you must stay permanent. Amen?
Amen.
You must, this new creation must be, cannot turn back to the old creation. Oh, man! Gives me goose pimples when I think about it. So, God wants the permanent abiding of his spirit, just as his new spirit engages through a life-producing relationship with God. That is, therefore, inseparable from the Lord. So the abiding of the Holy Spirit is eternally ours, so far as we continue on in the Lord or the Holy Spirit till the end of our lives. And if the Spirit of God is found in us at the end of our lives, then the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus, who retained the Holy Spirit in him to the end, that raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
I certainly hope so. And that is the unchangeable truth. You're not going to change it. I'm not going to change it. We may be tempted to go out and start living the same old life again, because after all, Lord, we've lived it long enough. Now give us a breather. Let's go back to the old world. Let us go back to Egypt so we can eat onions and leeks and the things of the world. You know, onions, so you can eat those, and leeks as well. but that you could go back into the world and sin. That's not going to work. There's very few people that know they've been born again, born anew, and therefore this possesses new life, a new spirit. But fewer still are those who know that from the moment they believed in the Lord Jesus, they have the Holy Spirit indwelling with them to be their energy, their guide, their Lord. It is for this very reason that many young Christians are slow in spiritual progress and never seem to grow at all. This sad state of affairs reflects either the foolishness of their leaders or their personal faithlessness until God's servants dissolve their prejudice, which holds that, quote, the indwelling Holy Spirit is but for the spiritual. The indwelling Holy Spirit is for those of us that are spiritual. Amen?
Amen.
Not for those of us that are carnal. If you're carnal, you don't have the Spirit. You're not a spiritual man or a woman. And you want to know something, that there is a difference between the Holy Spirit and our spirit, the man's spirit. Having realized how the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in believers at new birth, that is, after the Spirit has been made alive. Your new spirit is made alive. It was dead because of the Adamic sin. Therefore, everyone has the Adamic sin on their souls. People that don't have that are not spiritual, they can't hardly lead people onto any degree of spirituality because they themselves are not spiritual. You're not going to lead people anywhere because it's the Holy Spirit that does all the work in us. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, all you're going to do is lead people down into the ditch. Amen?
Amen.
So the regenerated world of the Spirit of God embraces for more than convincing us of sin. The Holy Spirit will convince you of sin and leading us to repentance and leading us into faith in the Savior. It truly confers upon us a new nature. The promise of the Holy Spirit indwelling us follows closely. The promise of having a new spirit. Actually, they form two parts of one promise. When convincing men of sin and leading them to believe in the Lord, the Spirit is just preparing the groundwork for his own indwelling. The singular glory of this dispensation of grace is that God's Spirit indwells believers in order to manifest the Father and the Son. God already has imparted to his children his Spirit. Once you're saved, you have a new spirit, then he puts his spirit inside you to indwell. They now must faithfully acknowledge the Holy Spirit in loyalty to submit themselves to God. Both the day of resurrection and the Pentecost experience have passed. It's already happened. The Spirit has long since come into the world, but many simply experience the new birth without knowing, in addition, that the Lord's abiding, he is abiding in them. They are living on the wrong side of the tracks. They're living on the wrong side of the resurrection. And Pentecost So regardless of the dullness of Christians in recognizing the dwelling of the person of God's Spirit in them, God nevertheless gave himself to them. This is an immutable fact which no condition of which Christians can gainsay. They can't argue about that because they have been regenerated. They automatically have become a holy temple fit for the habitation of the Holy Spirit. If only these would claim by faith this part of God's promise, as they have already received the other part, they would gloriously experience both. But if they should stress new birth and be content willingly with the possessing of a new spirit, they shall forfeit the possibility of experiencing a vigorous and joyful life and miss many blessings which God has produced them for them in the Lord Jesus, and miss eternity. They won't go to heaven because they accept that they've been born again, but they don't accept that the Holy Spirit must abide forever until the end. Amen?
Amen.
So if you are not communicating with the Lord on a daily basis, then you will miss eternity in heaven. But you will experience eternity in hell. So when you say the prayer tonight and you become spiritual, your spirit is changed. Your spirit is made alive, in other words. Don't forget that the Lord is living in you and that he wants to continue in living in you. You're not going to take him to beer joints or to whorehouses or to any other evil place. You're going to experience this desire to tell other people, and that desire must vigorously be in you to preach the truth and win souls to the end. So let's start out now. The things that you used to love, you'll hate now, and the things that you hated, you'll now love. And this goes for you, George W. Bush, and everyone in the government. If you'll say this prayer, you'll be saved as well. No matter what you've done, God will forgive everything you've done. And be bold. Don't be afraid of the devil, because the devil can't harm you. He can take your life, but God can take your life and throw your soul to hell. Satan can't do that. So let's start out right now by saying this prayer to the Lord. Say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Now just raise your hands up in praise and thank the Lord. And Sharon, tell them how they can receive this program, number 450. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370. Or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
And you know, once we receive the Holy Spirit, the new spirit and the Lord's drawing in there. Keep going onward. That's why I'm singing this song for you tonight. It's called Onward, Christian Soldiers. Onward.
National attention has been focused on banner headlines proclaiming Christians are being kidnapped, tortured, committed to mental institutions, accused of brainwashing and mind control. Arise, Christian America. The King is coming. Hold fast. The day of the Lord is here.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to one. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the Royal Master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go.
We are not divided.